Hello, everybody. Welcome to Spiritual Graffiti Podcast. Thank you for listening to me and Ruby. Please like, comment, share, follow, do all those things. Do your thing. Help us grow. Thanks for listening. Love you guys.
Welcome back.
Hello, Ruby.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. Doing good.
Yeah?
Yeah. I don't know. This day has kind of gotten away from me, but it was a lovely day. It was beautiful. I've been in a good mood, you know.
It's a lovely day? Wow.
It's a lovely day. Yeah. No, I mean, like, the weather was really beautiful today. I got some much-needed sunshine. I don't know.
That's good.
Yeah. How are you? What have you been doing?
I'm on day shift now, which I kind of like, even though it's not the same amount of money, but I like being up early. It makes me feel super regimented. I wake up at 4 and I go to the gym before work, and then I go to work, and I'm kind of busy at work, and, you know, my whole day is planned out just how I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know, you know, things are good. Actually, I had to take Luke to the hospital. That was kind of fun.
I know. You said that. That sounds kind of scary and wild.
Actually, it was kind of interesting. You know, this might sound bad, but, like, so he had, like, a high fever, and, like, it happened
like,
before. What,
like, when you say high, like?
104?
104. Yeah, that's what I was guessing. It had to be, like, over, like, 2 or 3, you know, like, anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, no, so he, like, it's happened before where he gets, like, delusional a little bit. Like, he seems, like, out of it. He doesn't really get sick that often. But the last time he got sick and he had a high fever, he kind of got delusional. So, I guess it was Wednesday. He went to bed, like, in the afternoon. And he came downstairs and he, like, started, like, talking gibberish. And,
like, just, like, gobbledygook.
Gibberish. Yeah, like, weird, like, sounds and stuff. It was like, unique sounds, too. It wasn't just, like, raw.
It was scary, like, for him inside his head. Like, if he thought he was saying – he must have thought he was saying words.
Well, right? Yeah, but this is what's weird. He, like – he would, like – it was, like, almost like his subconscious was, like, controlling him. But, like visually, I don't – he was like walking in circles, and then he would
That's what bunny rabbits do when they're like kind of like scared or like fight or flight, like bunny rabbits, they like run in circles.
Like, really?
I think this is true. I don't know the reason that they do this, but like they'll like rather than like running away from like whatever's chasing them, they get like caught in a loop and they'll just like run in circles.
Really?
I think so. Let me like look. Like I know
I'm googling it already.
Bunny rabbit.
So it says bunny rabbits circle to show affection.
Okay, that's not what I heard, but
I don't know. Whatever. Maybe it's the first thing that came up on Google.
Maybe it's just something they do when they're excited.
Yeah. I remember the thing, like, I don't know if it was a year ago. I think it was, like, in China where, like, these, like, sheep were, like, walking in circles for, like, 3 days straight. Do you remember that?
No. Yeah. Wait, right, what? Well,
these sheep in, like, China on this farm were just, like, walking in circles for, like, 3 days straight. It might have even been longer.
I do not recall this.
Yeah, it was kind of like a meme on the internet, too. Hmm. But, anyway, he, like, so I carried him upstairs and I, like, put him in a bath. But what was weird to me is, like, it was, like, he was coming in and out of, like, his own awareness. Like, he was talking to me, like, oh, Dad, it's okay, I'll be okay. And, like, I was trying to, like, calm him down and, like, you know, I put him in the bath, and he was like, then just like making these like high pitched weird noises, and I was just like, what the fuck is going on? And then he would come in and out. I don't know.
Like he would kind of be like conscious and like coherent, and then like then all of a sudden not.
Yeah, it was weird.
Yeah.
It was like a switch though.
Feverish behavior, but
yeah.
It's weird to like witness cuz like I don't know.
Yeah, so I brought him
a lot.
I brought him to the emergency room, but he like they just said it's, you know, some kids react like that for high fevers. Once his fever came down, he was a little more balanced out, you know, and he's better today, but
Does he have something like it or just...
Oh yeah, he had the flu. He had the flu.
Oh, he had the flu.
Yeah.
That sucks, dude.
Yeah. No.
Well,
yeah.
I'm glad he's okay, but she's like, how odd. Does he remember it?
Not really. He remembers. Yeah. I mean, he says he remembers like bits and parts of it, but he doesn't really remember the whole like going into the bathtub and stuff.
It's so bizarre. It's like we know so little about our consciousness and like our brains and how it works. Like, I mean, yeah, I don't know.
It was like he was reverting to like an animal state.
Yeah.
Like he was making like almost like it was like he was making like chimpanzee sounds. It was, I don't know, it kind of like threw
he
me
like
for a
de-evolved
little...
back to like what
yeah.
Use.
Yeah, it was weird. It was like
that is like really bizarre. Like I don't know how to, like I said, like it's really interesting how like quickly or easily like our, because we feel very like in control of our consciousness and we're very like I guess attached or whatever to like our perception and we, you know, obviously like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like my brain functions like, you know, like it's even when I'm cloudy, even when I'm like all over the place, like it's still like rational and present and like can comprehend and it, like my brain can signal, you know, like to, you know, yeah, you can just, your brain signals to like speak certain words and sentences like I don't feel good or whatever, and you feel like you're very in control of that, but it's like really seems like it's very simple. It doesn't take a whole lot, like a high fever or like a bump on the head or whatever can just like completely shift your ability to like communicate or like even, yeah, like I don't know, it's just so, it's so strange how vulnerable our brains are and how much we don't understand about them, and we like rely on them so heavily and we like expect them to function. But
well, it made me think about like, because I was we were kind of talking about the lady Tracy Twyman, I guess you want to call her. She's like this kind of author who was supposedly murdered or whatever she did to disappear.
She was suicided or something.
Yeah, so, but a lot of the stuff she talks about is like, you know, like MK Ultra type stuff. People who don't know MK Ultra is, it's like a program that the government supposedly had to like program people.
The CIA, they like use like psychedelics and different kinds of methodologies to more or less brainwash people, right? Like,
yeah, well, they she talks about using like trauma to brainwash people, and it was what I was
scary.
Yeah, or like sexual trauma,
right.
The sexual energy has like more, I don't know, manifestation force, maybe, is that the right way to put
like
it, but
it's like a, like something about like, I don't know, like triggering that or like using that energy to, yeah, for, I don't know. I mean,
well, I think like so it's interesting because like after I was reading some of her stuff, I was thinking like if you think about it, like everybody's like sexual issues, or even like not necessarily issues, but maybe like even their like kinks and stuff like that. I feel like when you like really break it down or analyze it, it feels like it's probably the best way to like almost tap into your subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
what are
like
you really into?
Well, like if you, you know, whatever you're into, like, I don't know, praise or like whatever, I feel like really like any, all the sexual patterns are very much like a look into your like subconscious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, like if you, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
I,
like,
I was gonna like give some like specific examples, and I was like, never mind, actually I should not do that.
Well, yeah, I was trying to think of a like, nice way to
personal.
Like.
My shit's personal. I, yeah, it's hard to think about like other people's like kinks or whatever, or like be specific, because like anyway, we all have things that we're kind of like we feel compelled towards or compelled to do or say or ask for, but maybe we don't feel like totally comfortable because we know it's a little bit weird. Everybody has like weird shit that they're into, but there is something, I think, I mean, it's very Freudian, I guess, to talk about the subconscious and also like sexuality. I mean, you know, Freud would say like the Oedipus complex, like everyone wants to like, every man wants to like kill his father and fuck his mother or whatever, you know, like that's a very like oversimplification of Freud. But
yeah,
there's truth in that. It's, there's like, you know, there's some truth in it. I think a lot of, I mean, you know, like a lot of girls have daddy issues and a lot of guys have mommy issues, and like, you know, you could have both or neither or whatever, but I think that like your first relationship.
Uh-oh. My smoke alarm is going off downstairs.
Is everything okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
Probably somebody.
Oh my god,
may.
That scared the shit out of me. I have like a trauma response to the like. it sounded like an emergency alert or something. I don't know. That took me to like
Y2K,
like New Year's Eve, the year 2000. Anyway.
Yeah. So we're just making sure our listeners are paying attention.
That gave me, my heart jumped, but like, yeah, like I think that there is something there where like your first relationships where you're like really connected and dependent upon someone else is like with your, like, you know, with your parents, and that kind of like forms how you relate to, you know, the opposite sex in the future or whatever, or like the same sex if that's what you're into. You know what I'm saying? Like there's, Freud gets kind of like misinterpreted a lot and also like dismissed a lot, but there is something there, so keep going. Like,
well, no, so what I was trying to get to was what I was gonna say is, so like if you think about it, say like your sexual things, whatever you want to call it, whatever you're into, is a gateway to like your subconscious, then if you think about it, like if they're creating these like mind controlled people, right, they're using sexual trauma, so it's like, I feel like the trauma is the aspect that opens you up, you know, so then you can, I guess, if you figure out like what you're trying to program, like, it makes, what I really was saying is that it kind of like makes sense in a way. Like, I was thinking, like, my son, when he was like freaking out, he like was reverting to this like more animalistic, like maybe survival mode. Mm. So like, I guess maybe it opens up like a level of your brain, you know? So then if you
like it gets into that like lizard brain or whatever, like the reptilian kind of survival, like fight or flight or something.
Yeah, like maybe, so like even if you think
primal.
Like, Well, I think about this, like, I don't know who said it. Maybe it was Confucius. Like, if you want to be a master at something, you got to do it like 10,000 times, right? And then what happens is your brain... I'm pretty
sure, what's his name, says, like, there's a book about this.
What, Lao's... I thought
Confucius... No, it's not... I mean, maybe Confucius said it first, but, like, about, like, devoting 10,000... Like, if you...
Somebody
want to
said
be an expert at something, you have to do it for 10,000 hours. There's
yeah,
what's that guy's name? I don't know.
Tim Ferriss? I don't know. No, I don't know.
I don't know. And it doesn't matter.
Jordan Peterson?
Probably not true. No, it's none of those people. He's written several books. He's got a podcast. He's I don't know. It doesn't matter, but 10,000 hours, 10,000 times, whatever. Like, yeah, you have to really devote some fucking energy.
Yeah, so what happens is it must, like, over time, the energetic pattern as well as, like, the physical pattern, the thought pattern must go to a level of your brain where, like, it's just reaction, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So if you maybe are able to get, maybe if the trauma is what gets to that, opens that gateway, and then you just kind of put whatever pattern you want to have. It just makes, I don't know, I was just guessing, saying kind of how it makes sense in a way, you know?
Like, in order to program people or, like, mind control them, you would, like, go through the course of, like, tapping into their trauma, or
yeah, well, like he seemed like he was almost in like this weird. If I try to make, he was making this sound, and it was like, woo, like it was so weird, and he was doing this thing with his like mouth. He was just like kind of like jittering, like he was almost like a baby again.
Mm-hmm.
And then the walking in circles, I feel like that's an animalistic, like, thing.
No, it is. Like, okay, so I looked it up, and rabbits do run in circles. They'll run in a large circle when being chased or hunted. It's, like, a defensive strategy or something. That's at least, like, the first thing that comes up. But but I know that I saw this probably on some kind of, I don't know, like, meme or, like, a video or some shit on the internet. So, like, take it for what that is. But I do think that there's something about like think about it, like if you are being chased and you just run in a straight line, chances are like they know where you're headed. But if you run in like a zigzag pattern or whatever, like if somebody's, you know, like you see it in movies and stuff like that, like it is kind of like some, there's something instinctual there. So
yeah,
sure.
But where was I don't know, I had a point to all.
Yeah, you were talking about like mind control, trauma, something about like being in a, like, were you saying that like you kind of could see like how,
yeah, maybe how it works,
like almost like trauma state, or like in a, he was obviously in a state of like high stress, like his body physically was in stress, so he was like reverting to these like noises, sounds, movements that were like not, They were more like animalistic or instinctual than they were like human seeming.
I guess. It made me really think like we are definitely, we're monkeys at one point. I don't know if that's true actually, but I don't know if I actually really do believe,
do you not
in
believe
evolution.
In evolution?
Nah, I don't know.
Okay.
How come rhinos
aren't
talking?
What are you,
talking?
Like a creationist or something? Like, I don't know. Like what?
I don't know. I think this.
I mean, I don't know if I believe in like, I don't know. I mean, survival of the fittest, I feel like that doesn't like check out fully, right? But I do think that there's like evolution. I just think it, I think to like explain it to people, you have to like distill it down so much that like it, you know what I mean? Like it's like there's, it's, I think it's more complex or complicated than like we like talk about, the way we talk about it and like everyday kind of conversation. Like it's not as simple as like we were monkeys and then one day, like years, thousands of years later, we're humans. Like there's, I don't know.
Yeah. It doesn't...
I don't know. Like, I mean, it could be that like, we're related to monkeys or whatever, but like there were other things like that like kind of I don't even know, like we evolved out of several different kinds of things or something. I don't know, but don't ask me about fucking science.
Yeah, me neither.
Like, please don't ask me about science.
No, we're into our kind feelings. Of buy into
evolution, though. I think overall, like, I think that we have evolved.
I don't know.
Like, technology has evolved. We've evolved.
Yeah, but just our because technology evolved doesn't mean that we are.
Like, the things that we've created evolve. Like,
yeah, but what if it's just a natural process of, like,
that's exactly time? What it is.
You know, yeah. Like, I don't know.
Like, what? I feel like nature does correct itself. Or, like, nature always kind of wins. Like, if you think about it, like, I don't know if you've ever just, like, driven past, like, an abandoned gas station and how, like, I mean, depending on where you live. But, like, down here, like, nature is fucking – it's jungly. Like, you don't need to, like, reach out and touch the grass. The grass is coming for you. Like, if you don't deal with it, if you don't keep it at bay, it's going to overtake you. It'll overtake your house. It'll overtake anything. And I feel like that's just, like, you know, like, kind of, yeah, it's kind of, like, evolution. Like, it's, we can try and, like, fight nature, but nature's always going to win. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you read any of the Tracy Wyman stuff?
Okay, so I downloaded the book you were talking about. I didn't, okay, I didn't, like, get into it just because the format, like, I downloaded it in, like, a PDF or whatever, but, like, I was on my phone, and so it was just, like, I had to, like, it wasn't, like, easy to just, like, scroll through it and read. So I need to, like, I don't know. I need to, like, put it into Kindle or some shit. Like, I need to put it in a form I can just, like, swipe through the pages or whatever instead of having to, like, click around and, like, I don't know. It wasn't aesthetically or, like, it just didn't appear on my phone easily to, like, yeah. read through it.
Yeah. Well, basically she writes about a lot of stuff, but she wrote this whole, like, documentary series for Hustler magazine, actually, that.
Okay.
These elite people were creating, like, sex slaves through, like, mind control.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was definitely on that. Like, I got the gist that she was on that, like, kind of, like, pre-Jeffrey Epstein. Like, she was on some, like, elite pedophile fucking, like, sex slavery, sex trafficking rings, like, among. She was, like, really into some, like, very deep conspiracy shit, but she had, it seemed like she had backed it up with, like, a lot of research and, like, not just research into, like, the quote-unquote elites, but also into, like, the occult and occult practices. And supposedly she was a, like, knight. She was somehow associated with the Knights of Templar. Is that what it is? And that's the thing, like, whenever you sent me that, it sent me off onto, like, 16 different, like, tangential directions, and I didn't ever, like, really, like, yeah, I felt like this is a very deep rabbit hole.
Yeah, well, no,
kind of thing, but, and I just didn't, yeah, in the past, like, I don't know, it's been a couple days, but, and I just haven't had, like, a chance to, like, really dive into that. I think it's interesting. I also feel like, I don't know. I'm just hesitant to, like, I mean, I think it's very interesting that her work has been kind of suppressed. Like, it's very hard to, like, you can buy her books, but they're, like, out of print and you have to buy them used, and they're, like, you know, just more expensive than, like, most average people. Like, no one wants to spend $60-$80 on just, like, a fucking book that somebody else owned, you know?
Yeah.
I had to, like, I ended up finding like a collect her collected work somewhere on like archive.org, like the you know, whatever it's called.
Yeah, no, I mean,
anyway, you can find it, but it's like hard to find. Like if you Google her, there's no like Wikipedia or like anything like that. There's just like, you can find stuff on Reddit, you can find stuff on like, you know, whatever Goodreads. Like it's just like people speculating. There's no like really, there's not like an article that's written about her, or you know, like it's just like nothing kind of mainstream. You'd have to like probably do a decent bit of digging to like find out much about her, and also like how reliable is what someone says on Reddit. You know, you don't know.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
how did you hear about her? Like, just to like, what got you kind of?
I think I read one of her books a long time ago. And I kind of just forgot about her. And then for some reason, she started coming back to me.
Okay. It,
like, came into my head out of nowhere. I've always been, I don't know, I've always been interested in the figure Baphomet. He's, like,
oh, yeah, she, okay. So that's what this book that I, like, downloaded is, it's like, talking about or whatever. She's, like,
it's, channels
like, her conversations
him.
With... the different like deities or whatever that she
well I think she like she kind of had like a group that was like trying to contact these entities to kind of like communicate with them, and I think she connects with Baphomet, and I think she connects with like the
she used a Ouija board, like her and her. Is this the same thing, like where she and her husband were like using a Ouija board to communicate with like Baphomet and like
and Cain, okay. Cain of the Bible, or the historical figure.
Okay, yes. The like the Cain and Abel.
So basically, she believes that this entity is like almost like the evolved version of the devil, and. Like that they're, you know, it's very connected to like the Gnostic view of like there's like a demiurge, which is like the lesser god, right? And this lesser god is like Jehovah from the Old Testament, and then this Baphomet was like, I guess there was two sides, and like the demiurge or the Old Testament god was very like strict, or like Father Time, like Saturn type energy. And this Baphomet is like the snake in the Garden of Eden. Like he believed that we should have like a choice, or like more free will. You know, it's like, it's almost like the oneness and separation. It's like we are, we're always part of God, but like when we came into the physical, or you know, if that, if the book of Genesis is like a metaphor for our decision to become separate, you know, like, so it's like almost like this energy, I guess, came into being to give us a choice, you know, of separation, to know what it's like to be separate from God. And I think that's what, you know,
like that's the original sin, is like choosing to experience like
separation.
What God, yeah, like being, being separate from God, or like AKA like doing what God told you not to do, but like betraying God or something. But like, is that bad though? Like, that's the thing. It's like, I have like, obviously, like, the Bible calls that, like, the original sin or whatever. Like, that's, like, the sin was, like, God told you not to eat the fucking apple. You ate the fucking apple. Like, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, but also, like, isn't it, like, we're created in God's image. Right? So.
Yeah, but I mean,
isn't
like.
There, isn't there something, like, that, like, is very, like. both human and divine about like being curious and wanting to know and like seeking what's out there, what's possible. Like the only way we could know ourselves as human is to, yeah, to be separate. Like the only way to know like God is to be separate from God, separated from God. Like you can't find God, you can't come to know God unless you first don't.
Yeah,
like I don't it's know. Like implied, right? Like you have to kind of like not, you have to be separated in order, because otherwise it's just like it just is.
Yeah, but like, all right, like in a perfect, I think about this, like in a perfect world, right? If your parents had a great relationship and both of them gave you the total love that you need, right? Or whatever you need to be whole, right? Like, would you stray from them? Like, would you question them?
Yeah.
Would you?
Yeah.
No matter what. You think you would always just have this curiosity, or that's, you think that's,
I mean,
you?
I think by nature, I just like don't. I think everyone by nature just like isn't.
Like you think it's human nature?
If everything you've ever known is perfect stability, like everything's together, everybody gets along, there's stability and security and blah blah blah, if that's all you've ever known, you probably a take it for granted and think like that's always going to be there. Sure. And then b, like you're probably also curious about like what else is possible. Like it's the way that like, I don't know, like rich kids go off and like become fucking heroin addicts or whatever. It's like they're just like, things can't all be perfect all the time. I think there's a certain amount of like,
okay, but all
drive
right.
To kind of, yeah, drive for chaos.
What about what about if they found like the perfect balance, you know, like I think of Alan Watts, the philosopher. He does this talk about like the perfect dream, you know? So it's like, if you could dream any life you ever wanted, you know, like, and you could dream and dream and dream, you know, like, and keep working till you find this like perfect life, right? So like the first time you might be like, oh, I want to be rich and famous and everything I want and desire, right? And then like, you know, after a couple times of having that type of life, you would probably be like, you know what, this is like boring,
right?
You know, like everything's easy and perfect, like let me throw in some like trauma, you know, let me throw in some parent who has issue, you know, like you need kind of, you would want like over time, you would want strife just because you would probably get bored of like having this perfect life, right?
Exactly.
So now yeah. What if you had something that was
you
like,
you need struggle. You need something to work. Like you need a fight. I think to have a, can you hear me?
Yeah, you can.
I just accidentally turned my mic off, so I feel like that's going to fuck everything up.
Nah.
Maybe not. But, yeah, I feel like you need struggle and you need, like, yeah, like, you kind of, I mean, yeah, you kind of need something to fight for or fight against. Like, you need, yeah. Like, that's part of, like, life.
Okay, so now if you had a parent who gave you the right balance of what, or parents that gave you the right balance of
like safety and security and love with also like some
like
kind of conflict
boundaries or like you know, made you work for things in your life. God, or
parents. Like, why is the
parent? I'm using parents because I feel like that's what God is to everybody. I think that's the closest.
Me rolling my eyes so hard.
I do. I think it's the closest relationship to, like, or like the closest metaphoric relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, you're right. I'm just like rolling my eyes at like daddy God.
Yeah, but I mean, like
fuck you. I'm such.
Yeah, but it's really both of them, you know. It's the
mother God and the father God.
Well, yeah, and then it's the balance of the masculine and feminine energies within everybody. Yeah, you know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But really, like,
I'm not laughing at you. I agree with you. I just, I don't know. My mind's.
You just want to say, daddy?
No.
Kind
of, but no, it's more like I think what I kind of like scoff at is the fact that like none of these words are really sufficient. There's no like none of the ways we try to articulate about God is like really sufficient for, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, it's not.
Well, I mean,
like, if you think about your parents, like, they're flawed, they're fucked up. Like, as much as like they may have like really good intentions, and they obviously, like, for the most part, your parents love you and like want the best for you, blah blah blah. But like, they're so flawed. Is God that flawed? Like, I don't know.
It's no, like, well, this is kind of what I was getting at. This is what I was kind of getting at. So this week I was talking to somebody, a friend, about like unconditional love.
Because, impossible. Disgusting.
No, well, like, the person was talking about, like, that they kind of, like, match whatever people give them. Like, so if somebody's really open and honest with them, or they feel that way, they're open and honest with them as well, you know? So, but it made me realize a very, I think, specific point, because I feel like I've noticed this before, but I never put it together. Is like, I obviously, you know, in order to love everybody unconditionally, you have to like love yourself unconditionally, which I feel like is very hard in today's world, you know. But I do feel like I would say I accept myself.
I think it's easier for me to like love others unconditionally than myself.
Well, that's a whole other issue.
Like, but I'm just saying, like, I don't know that that's like, I really hate, like, oh, you have to love yourself before you can love somebody else. I think most people, like, love others and show more, like,
really?
At least show something closer to unconditional love to other people more than they do themselves. So? Most, I mean, personally, like, me and the people I be knowing, like, like, it's very much like I'm really hard on myself. Yeah, but that kind of feels like I judge myself, and I do judge other people, sure, but like not nearly as harshly as I judge myself. Like, I don't think I feel like unconditional love is like really hard. I mean, maybe you're like, yeah, maybe you're different because you kind of do, like, I don't know, you have a high like level of self worth, and I think you do genuinely like accept and love yourself, like. You kind of work through a lot.
I would say I'm at like 90%.
90?
I would give myself 90%.
Like 90% unconditional self-love.
I think so.
Teach us how.
I know what I'm about. Like,
sorry to stop this conversation. We've talked about 17 different things, but like how? Because I would give myself like 70 maybe. Like 65, 70. It's not bad. I thought you were going to say like 45. But the like 30, 35% is like, I don't know. It's like unreconcilable. Like, it's like.
Okay. But like I want to finish like what I was going to say first. Just because. Okay. So like what I've noticed is that I think. Like, I could love you fully, like, unconditionally. I feel like I accept you for who you are. And
like me,
you,
yeah.
Yeah, you personally, but really, I
the proverbial you, sure.
Yeah, but, you know, like, we're friends, so I feel like I fully accept who you are. Like, you could literally tell me, I just murdered somebody outside, and I'd be like, it's okay, Ruby, you're still a good person. You know, like.
Like, you must have had a good reason for that.
No, but just like, I feel like I do. Right. Right.
Like, I got your back, bitch. Yeah.
Yeah, but no matter.
That's how I feel. Yeah. To my friends, like, it's like. And I don't, and maybe it's because, like, I'm pretty selective and, like, I don't have that many people that I'm, like, really, really close to. But if I am, I feel like I know that they're good people. And if they did something that I would perceive of as, like, bad or wrong or, like, whatever, like, there was probably a good reason. And I'm going to have their back regardless. And, like, honestly, even if they are wrong and I know that they're wrong and they know they're wrong even, like, I'm still going to have their back. Like, I'm still going to back them up, you know?
Yeah.
Like. And I feel like, but that's, like, really what, like, is that unconditional love or is that just, like.
But wait, I think this is good. This is an important thing for you, too.
Okay.
Okay, so, like, if I'm saying what I just said, where I love you unconditionally, mm-hmm. right? You can, I can love you as much as fully unconditionally, but you will never get that. Because you don't love yourself to a certain level. So you can't even, I can't even provide that unconditional love for you because you have to have it for yourself first.
That makes sense. Like, okay. You cannot accept love from others unless you love yourself. I don't think it's the same thing to say, like, you cannot love others unless you
yes, love yourself. Because listen,
I don't think it's the same
thing. I'm not done. I'm not done. So you. Actually, if you're able to love people unconditionally, like you're saying with your friends, I think you actually do love yourself unconditionally. But I think there's programming
yes, okay.
that blocks you from being it's aware of it.
There's like, there's things that like I yeah. can accept in myself, but I don't believe that like the rest of the world would accept in me.
Yeah, like I think deep sure. down that's you do love that's yourself. A really
good point. I think that's true. Yeah, I would say that's true for me. I think that's probably true for a lot of people. Like they like, and I think that my like trust in myself, like, I mean, I don't always trust myself, I guess, but I mean, I think I mostly do actually. Like I really do like go based on like I do act on my like intuition and my gut and my feeling, and like I might debate about it for a long time. I might like be really afraid to like take action, but ultimately like I do listen to myself and I do like trust that over like what the fuck anyone else says. And I've been wrong. Like I've definitely made the quote like wrong choice, like I made things harder on myself or whatever, but I, when it comes down to it, like I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't undo it. I wouldn't like trade it. Like all of the experiences I have had like were worthwhile. And I know if I was put in the same position, like I wouldn't like, yeah, it'd be like a butterfly effect or whatever. Like I would probably end up doing the same thing. Because ultimately, like, I do like who I am and I like values and the whatever, like, morality that I live by. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like,
well, let me ask you this.
I wouldn't like, trade anything. I wouldn't change anything, even if it was, like, in the moment, like, it was a hard thing to go through or the decisions I made my life more difficult. Like, sure.
Now, like when do you feel like you're unloving to a friend?
When do I feel like I'm unloving towards a friend?
Yeah, because you say it's much more easy for you to be unconditionally with a friend. So, like, what... When do you feel like you're not unconditional with a friend?
I mean, it's hard to think of like a specific, I'm not good at specific examples sometimes, but I think like, you know, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I was literally just talking about this. Like, I can disagree with you. I could say, like, if I were you, I wouldn't do that, you know, but ultimately, like, that you're going to do what you're going to do, and I'm going to, like, love you regardless, you know, like, there's, it's hard for me to say, like, I think I get frustrated with people who, like, stay stuck in a cycle, maybe, or, you know, kind of, like, keep, like, like, if I have to hear you bitch about the same thing for, like, years or something, like, yeah, that might get on my fucking nerves. But I'm still going to be there to fucking listen. I'm probably not going to, like, I feel like it would take a lot for me to just, like, abandon somebody that I love, you know?
Yeah.
It really does. Like, you really have, you have to fucking walk away from me.
So, like, what don't you, what do you feel like you don't love, like, what are you not loving about yourself? Like, what aspect of yourself?
I think when it comes down to it, I do. I think there's just, like, a push and a pull between, like, what I know is expected or acceptable according to, like, the rest of the world, society, my family, like, whatever, versus, like, what it is that I want or how I see myself. You know, like, there's this kind of a, yeah, I think I beat myself up, you know, like, just for, like, little shit. I get frustrated with myself, those kinds of things, but I don't think I, like, it's like a moment to moment. It's sort of like asking, like, are you happy, right? Like, if I were to ask you, are you happy, like, anybody, like, chances are you would say, like, sometimes, right? Like, maybe even a lot of the time, but not always. Like, it's
yeah, but I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like
loving yourself unconditionally, like, in a given moment, like, where I'm like, oh wow, like, you really fucked that situation up, like, why'd you have to go and do that? You know, like, I can be harsh on myself and, like, beat myself up over it and feel like whatever, but I think in a general sense, like, an overall, like, you know, looking at my whole self and my whole life, like, I do think I love myself unconditionally, and I think I do, like, accept myself. But I think if you were to ask me in, like, a given moment where I'm, like, having a hard time, I'd be like, I fucking hate myself, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, it's not unconditional is a weird word to use to me, like, because it's like, it's unconditional, like, in the big picture, but on, like, the moment to moment thing, like, yeah, I will say, like, Ruby, you fucking idiot, like, what the fuck is wrong with you, like, you know, like, I mean, I don't know, like, am I not supposed to say that? Am I supposed to just be like, oh, it's okay, Ruby, like, you just made this mistake 67 other times, like, didn't learn your lesson then, like, am I supposed to just be like, you know, I don't know, I think, and it depends on who you are and, like, what motivates you, like, I think, like, some people are motivated by, out of, like, you know, somebody being hard on them, like, think about, like, a coach or, like, a fucking like, a lieutenant in the army or something who's, like, yelling at you and telling you you're a piece of shit. Like, some people are like, fuck you, I'm going to show you. And then other people, like, that doesn't help them. You know what I mean? It's complicated. It's not just a simple thing about, like, what the fuck does it mean to love yourself unconditionally? What does it mean to love someone else unconditionally? You can love someone unconditionally and not fucking need to be around them and not need to associate yourself with them and not agree with the decisions that they make. Do you believe that they, like, ultimately are a decent person and deserve to live their life freely and, like, do them? Like, sure, that's loving you unconditionally, but I can do that from a fucking distance. I don't have to, like, I can think, like, your choices are fucking stupid and I can be mad at how you treated me or whatever. It doesn't mean I don't, like, ultimately have, like, whatever, like, brotherly love or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's just not that simple. Nothing's that simple in my little pea brain. I guess I overthink everything, but, like, I feel like it's just like one of those things that people throw out there. And but I mean, I agree with you when you're saying stuff like, you know, how can you accept someone's true unconditional love if you actually don't love yourself? Like, you'll never really trust that someone loves you if you feel like you're not lovable, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think about what triggers you with, like, within, like, seeing people, you know, like, or interacting with people. Like, what triggers you? Like, what type of person would trigger you? A liberal?
No. I mean, I think when I sense like fakeness or whatever, like when I sense that someone's being like fake or putting on airs, that's something that bothers me a lot. I think when someone is dismissive or like condescending, those kinds of things, like judgmental when you don't have any reason to be, like, that to me is like, it's triggering, but it's also like, I can see how that's just like a reflection, you know, like you're just like projecting or whatever. But like the, you know, yeah, like I think anytime I sense someone's like not being genuine, that's something that triggers me a lot. And I think when you're like just being ugly to somebody for no reason, like that's something that like I don't understand or relate to. Like,
yeah,
like, okay, I mean, I can be nasty, but like there's a good reason behind it. Like,
do you want to break this down, or you want, I could do,
like,
my,
like, I'm just telling you, like, those are the main things that I can think of like off the top.
Okay, I'm trying to show you what I do for me personally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so like I'll use my, I could pick yours apart, but I'll start with myself first just to be diplomatic.
Aww.
All right, so, like, something I always struggle with, I feel like, was, like, my weight, you know? Like, I definitely was an emotional eater and Italian, you know? So we just eat to cover our feelings. So I was always trying to, like, lose weight. And I remember, like, I'd go into the gym and I'd see, like, these, like, jacked, like, shredded guys. And they, obviously, they would be, like, Guidos. So, you know, like, in my head, that would bother me, right? And I'd be like, oh, they're probably on steroids, or, you know, they're very, like, metrosexual. So I'd be like, oh, they're probably pretty gay boys or whatever, you know, mm-hmm. like, judging them internally, right? And then, like,
yeah, it's like when you see a pretty girl and you're like, she's probably dumb as rocks or whatever. She's
so, like, she's yeah. So I would see those people. And I would feel, like, the trigger, like, within me, or, like, the emotion, like, stirred up. And, like, every time I would see it, I'd be like, why is this bothering me? Like, you know, and I would try to, like, feel into it and be like, it's bothering me because that guy, like, I'm being a hater. That guy has the body that I want, you know? But deep down, like, at the surface level, I'm like, oh, he's probably a metrosexual guy, like, judging him or whatever. And then, like, over time, like, I would do it all the time. Like, anytime I would feel a triggered feeling with something.
Where you're, like, wanting to be judgmental, or, like...
Yeah, where I would want to...
When you want to be...
Whatever, there. Like, you see somebody and they visually, like, or emotionally, like, trigger you. And I would just think about it and feel into, like, whatever I'm feeling in my body. Like, if I feel stirred up by this feeling, and I would just be aware of it. And, like, over time, like, I would just do it all the time. And I would, you know, like, you know, I would realize that, like, this is just, you know, some issue within myself. And this person is reflecting this shadow aspect of myself that is causing me to judge it.
You felt like you were judging yourself.
Yeah.
Really,
and
you were like comparing yourself, like, I wish I looked like that.
Yeah. And then
I relate to, like, that's not where my mind goes. And I think the other thing for me is, like, I can see a beautiful woman and, like, be envious of that and know that and, like, recognize that. But, like, I don't necessarily have to hate. I don't. I haven't felt the like urge to like hate on that. Like, I'm way more likely to be like, God damn. Like, I hope in my next life I fucking look like that. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, but maybe I'm, like, being not like that.
Hate on it. Cause like, I think I like. I think it's like I just admire it, but like for you, it was like you wanted to hate on it because you were like,
yeah, because I was judging my own weakness. Like, yeah. I didn't have the willpower to control my eating desire.
Well, maybe you just have a different fucking body type. Like,
no, but this isn't the point. You the point like, is I we're I talking.
I never look like Kate Moss or what? Like, I'll never be that skinny, even if I think that that's like really cool and attractive.
Yeah, but you got to realize, you think about this, right? This is what people don't get. This is all manifestation shit, because it's like your trigger is causing this heavy emotional reaction. So.
It's preventing you from getting...
Exactly. So you're telling the universe at that moment...
I'm sorry. I agree with you. I'm just annoyed with it.
Why? Because I'm right?
No, not because... I'm not annoyed with you specifically. I'm not annoyed that you're right. I'm just annoyed with the idea in general that, like... Because, like, I also feel like, okay, like, you're allowed to, like, not feel great about...
I'm not saying you're not allowed to feel great. You're such a cancer. You have to feel it. But the thing is, the universe reacts to feeling, and then it reacts to intensity of feeling.
So especially if it's on like a subconscious level. Like if you're subconsciously like hating on these people and they're really triggering you emotionally, but you're not conscious of like why or what's going on, then like, yeah, like that is going to have a bigger impact than
but the point is like once I worked through the awareness of that trigger, I lost weight. It changed because I wasn't having that strong emotional reaction.
Yeah.
Right? So then now
the same thing as like when someone gets in your head and like when someone like is like very critical of you, like a parent, for instance, or like a I don't know, like a partner or something, like when someone's like very, very critical of you and you believe that and you like really take that on, it becomes true, you know? Yeah. Like
oh yeah, well,
your parents always telling you that you're like a lazy piece of shit, like for like because you didn't do like whatever the fuck chore. Like if you really take that on and internalize it, or if it, you know, I don't know, like there's so many things that like society, like people like will put on you and teach you to like criticize yourself about. But if you like, when you internalize it, it does become true. Whereas like, if you start to like break the chains of that and like really like release, like that's not like just because someone says that, that doesn't mean it's real. Like, or just because like everyone else believes that, that doesn't mean it's real. Like if you can break out of that, then it no longer is the thing that's holding you back. Like, I feel like it kind of works either way. Like, whether it's you being, like, critical of others or others being critical of you, like, both of those things are equally, like, powerful in terms of hindering your growth or in whatever area you're talking about, you know? Like,
yeah.
Anyway.
No, but, like, I just talked that whole thing out with you, like, I'm this evolved person, but I could spend 15 minutes with my mom and be so fucking triggered still and not be aware of it and just go back at her and purposely try to trigger her. So it's like, you know, when you're really bothered by something, it's, you know, sometimes you're just in it. Like you can't work through it. You have to like, you know, you have these programs of reaction to certain things and like, you know, you got to think your identity when you identify as something or like, you know, me identifying as like being a contrarian or like the antagonist. It's like, I can't let my mom antagonize me. I got to antagonize her back. So it's like, your ego.
How dare you beat me?
Yeah.
Antagonizing.
Oh, you want to start antagonizing me? I'll do it
right now. Like, let's go, Pete.
Yeah, I'll do it three times as worse. Like,
I know you. I bet you can be so mean.
I'm bad.
You've never been like mean or ugly to me in any type of way, but I just like, I know that's in there, and I think maybe that's like why we're friends, is because like I have that too. Like, we can like, I can respect that, but I don't need to like prove that. I don't know.
You know, it's funny, it's like just talking that through with you now, I think I realized like something.
What, like, did you realize?
No, just like so deeply, like I talk about like wanting to be free from my job, my day job and stuff like that, but like I can't even be free from my mom. You know, because I'm like,
back to the Freudian thing, like, no man, every man is trying to escape like their mother's judgment.
Yeah, but it's like it's like she triggers me so hard because like she's like the, it's like she is a Leo and it's like this like roles and like rules and like how you're supposed to be in like society and like what you're supposed to do, which is like the anti-version,
like leadership kind of qualities of like Leos be thinking that they're right.
Yeah, and like
no matter what.
Yeah, and that's like so against what I believe.
Yeah.
So it's just like I'm getting angry and sending that message to the universe that like how I'm stuck in a way, because she's reflecting like that like institutionalized like establishment, like that
you
way
wanna
of
rebel
being
against her.
Yeah, but you think about it, like I'm focusing on how I'm stuck because she's reflecting my subconscious like shadow aspect.
Oh,
you know, so
like,
now I'm
still stuck in this like kind of,
yeah, she comes to my house like once
a
week
dynamic. You're stuck in this dynamic with like your mother and probably other people in your life.
Yeah.
And therefore you're also stuck in other, like that same dynamic that you're stuck in with your mom is probably reflected on some level in your job.
Yeah. And I would say I have a argument with her once a week. So,
I mean,
I'm sending that message every week.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know,
okay. Realizing things.
Yeah, I never realized that, really, you know?
Me realizing things, too, though, because I think I have a good old argument with my mom once a week, too, at least. I mean, and ultimately, it's all okay. Like, it's fine. Like, I think we're both, like, argumentative types of people, and we kind of, like, like to kind of, what's the word?
Egg each other.
We're a little hyperbolic, I think, with like the way that we, you know, we kind of like get a little overreactive and hyperbolic about things. And like, I think I sound a lot more like passionate or angry than I really am in a lot of situations. And then like when other people react with like that much, like that same thing, I'm like, whoa, like, I don't even mean it like that. Like, we can just like, I don't even care that much. Like, I'm just kind of a provocative person or what, like I'm a contrarian. I try to be difficult. Like I kind of like, I like banter. I like arguments. Like I kind of like, I just enjoy like the back and forth and like debating things. Like, I don't know why, maybe it's a problem, but I don't know. I think it's kind of who I am. And so I think on one level, like, yeah, like, there are certain people that I can engage with that way, and we can kind of like go back and forth and like not agree, but it's like cool. And we both understand that it's like not a real fight. But then there's other people who like, I can think of at least like a couple of people, like significant people in my life, like one being my mother, other, like, doesn't matter, but where like, I'm just kind of doing my like playing devil's advocate, like being a little bit provocative, poking the bear a little bit. I'm not really like, I'm not taking it personally, first of all, and I'm also like not trying to make it personal to, like, I'm not criticizing or judging you as a person for like what you think. I'm just like trying to kind of like get to the bottom of it and like kind of keep the conversation going because I think it's interesting. I think you kind of like, I don't know, maybe I just like a fight. I don't know. Like that's very possible. A Leo Mercury, like it's very possible that I just kind of like to fight. But
yeah, but
there's like a couple people in my life where like me doing that to them feels very personal and they take it as like criticism, like, and they really just like, it's usually people though who are like kind of narcissistic and like just want everybody to agree with them, and like they're not interested in the debate, they're not interested in the like different perspectives or like getting to the bottom of anything. They're really just like, they just want someone to agree with them, and like that's what they're fighting for, is for someone to agree with them. And like if I sense that in someone, I'm like gonna go harder at like whatever my contrarian point is. Yeah. Isn't that bad? That's like such a negative dynamic. But I think it's like, it just depends on who you're dealing with, because like some people, like they can just like, like I feel like you and I can do this where like we don't have to agree. We can like banter back and forth and like have kind of an argument or a discussion or whatever and not agree on something. But like you're not going to walk away mad like I'm judging you, and I'm not going to walk away mad like you're judging me. You know what I mean? Like it's like in that context, it's fine. But with the wrong person, it's like now it's a real fight and everybody's feelings are getting hurt. You know, yeah, like, I don't know.
But I mean, do you want peace or do you want to be right?
I don't think it's a choice between either.
Why?
I don't think I particularly need to be right.
So I think why I can the accept argument?
Because I like the dialogue. Like I like getting into things. Like I do think I enjoy chaos. I think I do enjoy like kind of like an argument or a fight or whatever. Like I don't think I know Peace. I don't really know her. Never met her before.
No.
I mean, kind of, yeah. I don't think that, like, I mean, I like my, like, peace and quiet. Like, am
so
I,
would
like,
you say
whatever,
you...
but I think I do kind of, I think would... I will, like, I'm would definitely a person who would... will, like, bait someone into an argument.
You identify with chaos?
I think that that's where I think I was like born out of chaos. You know, I think I was raised in chaos.
So you do identify as chaos.
I don't know that I would say I identify that way, but I would say that that feels more normal. It's like feels.
Okay, but like if you look at things.
Normal or like I understand chaos and I understand like fighting and stuff like that, like more than I understand just like peace.
Okay, right.
I feel like peace is like the calm before the storm. Like I'm very skeptical of it.
But I'm saying like okay, so like I'm using the word chaos. You said you're born out of chaos, right? So you looking at chaos is almost like to a judgment, right? You're judging your life as being chaos. Right? Or you're born out of chaos, right?
No, I just mean that, like, it was my home life was not very peaceful.
No, listen, I'm not saying...
That's all I mean.
I'm not saying you're wrong or right.
In a not peaceful environment. So
I'm not saying you're wrong or right. I'm saying...
chaotic make more sense to me.
When I say you're judging, what I mean is almost like you're evaluating or, like almost like you're examining. Like
analyzing, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, you're labeling your life in your early life as chaos, right? Now, the chaos may be, like, the negative form of it, okay? But somebody could look at the chaos and say, like, oh, my life, you know, I had a lot of, you know, intense experiences where, you know, it made me who the person I am today.
Yeah, like my life was very like intense or adventurous or whatever. Yeah, sure.
So you're putting identifying
a word that has a negative connotation. Yeah.
So, but I'm saying is like if you look at that, it's like you're showing your perspective, or your view of the situation. You're choosing that view of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, I don't necessarily think it's like a bad thing though. Like, I just think
I'm not saying okay, it is, but I'm saying like, it's like it's, the feeling behind that word.
There's like, okay, so there's like, what's the, is it, oh my God, like Dungeons and Dragons, where there's like ratings of like lawful good, neutral good, chaotic good, like lawful, like what, I don't know, like there's like different ratings, and there's like chaotic evil, and there's like neutral evil, there's like, you know, do you know what I'm talking
about?
Yeah,
so what would you
give it? There's like a spectrum. Okay, so I think I'm like, I would say I'm chaotic good, you know, like it's like, yeah, it's like weird, it's like I can be out there, I can be a little bit like messy in like the literal sense, but it's like ultimately like it's all in, it's all just like part of the fucking, you know, like it's fine. Like it's, I think I'm a good person. I don't think I'm a bad person. I don't think I'm particularly like.
Yeah, but you're like, see, just by like how you're talking, you're like judging.
I'm just trying to articulate it. That's all.
No, but I think
feel like I'm being judgmental at all. I just feel like I'm trying to.
I feel like you're giving like an inside view of like how you process your way. And it's like, you're kind of like, it feels like you're kind of like judging your perspective.
I think if anything, I'm trying to embrace myself, and like, I am not, I don't know. Maybe,
but
I don't.
Yeah,
I,
but like, so you were talking about, before we started, you were talking about like, you said you were having a conversation with one of your friends about what exactly?
We were talking about like, just like the kinds of people you attract as far as like romantic attraction or like whatever, like relationship type of stuff. But like my friend was saying, and I relate to this, just like how you kind of like have an idea in your head of like the kind of relationship you want, right? But then like somehow you're attracting people who are like not at all available for that. Like whether they're, you're like, you want a, you know, maybe you're looking for like a long-term, like serious relationship, right? And then you're somehow attracting people who are like non-monogamous, but are actually in like long-term relationships, but they're open to like other people, but that's, they're not going to ever like give you the thing that you think that you're looking for. And like, you're, but yet you're attracting like people who aren't really available, or,
you know what I want to say whatever. Right now?
So that's what we were talking about. Go ahead. Say what you're going to say.
So do you, would you say you're attracting somebody who might be considered chaotic? man, that makes you.
Really, this was not really my story. Like, this is.
I know. I'm just fucking
somebody else. But I related to it because I feel like I similarly like find people who I seem to attract are like the same kind. Well, maybe they are chaotic. Yeah. I guess like that's a label you could put on it. Sure. Fair point. You win.
So if you're
you really did. You just like mic dropped that shit a little bit. Okay.
But I'm saying, like, if you are putting it out there, like,
I'm so crazy, I'm so chaotic. But I feel
I don't really feel like you're chaotic at all. But I mean, I don't, you know, I don't know. You feel like somebody who's normal, maybe like you're normal, like, do you not want to be considered normal? I feel like you like tensed up when I said that.
I did. I don't like that. I don't feel normal. I mean, I think I am normal. I think I'm probably really boring, honestly. But I like, don't, I think that like how I've been, how other people react to me my entire life is that like I'm way too emotional. My mood swings are chaotic.
Yeah, like, but you like, you know, that though. You like that aspect of yourself.
I do. But like,
yeah, the, so how can you find balance? Well. How can you find balance if you don't want to be balanced.
Should I want to be more balanced? I don't think I'm. I think that like.
I don't. I'm not I, saying I you like don't want to be balanced. Career, like... I'm saying the majority of your energy is devoted to like you having emotions or like identifying with like that you're an emotional being. Like nobody cares that you're emotional.
No, you're right. They don't. That's okay.
No, but it's not a bad thing. I'm just saying, like, you are judging yourself for being emotional. Nobody else is.
No, they are, though. That's
not true. Because that's who you are. That's the truth of who you are.
Yeah, and not everybody vibes with it.
Yeah, but fuck them. Like, that's not who you're. That's not who you're.
There was a lot. Like, there's been, like.
You don't think there's men out there who love emotional women?
No, all men love emotional women. Some of them just like they don't know how to take, like they don't know what to do with it. But like, I feel like every male kind of loves that.
I don't know. I don't know if I really do, to be honest.
No, you're probably like an exception to like whatever like generalization I'm making. But I think generally speaking, yeah, like a lot of men are kind of like attracted to like. Because it's so different than like my emotional like whatever nature is. I don't know. I think people who. I don't know. I think that there are a lot of people who kind of like wish they could express themselves as freely as other people, and then there's people who wish that they could like rein themselves in a little bit more. And, like, not be so, like, not be as driven by – and, yeah, not be as driven by their emotion and be able to, like, think more logically. You know, like, I've tried different things, right, like, where I've tried to kind of, like, rein myself in and kind of, like, suppress how I feel and, like, mask whatever and, like, you know – be who someone else expects me to be or whatever, but then like you like lose yourself, you know, when you try to like eliminate a part of yourself or you try to diminish a part of yourself, like you start to like lose who you are, especially if you're doing it to like please someone else or please like to, you know, if you're diminishing who you are at your job and you're just like faking it all day, like that's not sustainable.
Yeah, but you gotta
do that forever.
The judgment, right? The judgment, listen, the problem with like manifesting or whatever you want to call it, a partner is that you want, isn't about you being emotional. It's about the judgment of you being emotional.
Mm. Because I mean, I don't think I particularly like want or desire a partner at this particular stage in my life, but
in general, like, anybody
like I relate to wanting that really badly and trying to fit myself in a box in order to like maintain a relationship.
Yeah, but like what,
and then
but,
wondering like why the fuck do I keep like catching these fucking losers, you know, like why do I only seem to attract these like people who probably are, you know, they're always mirrors, you know, like I think
that's, yeah, but that's thing. What I'm like,
they're always mirrors and if you're getting, if you keep encountering something that like reflects a part of you,
yeah,
like it's really about like looking at yourself. I understand that. I do. I just,
no, I'm saying though, the judgment is what causes the conflict in the relationship. Your self-judgment.
Wait, so I should just be like, this is who I am. Like, take it or leave it. Like,
yeah, because then you'll attract a person who feels the same way about you.
That's what I'm saying. Like, say you're at that point, right, where you're like, you know what I want. I know who I am. Like, there's, like, this – I feel like there's, like, a – I don't know, like a transitional period or something.
No, where, I think there's a pivot point. I think there's a point where,
that's what I'm getting at. Like, what is the pivot point?
The universe will send you somebody who isn't fully who you want. It's like a, it's going to be somebody who kind of questions your desires. So like, you know, they're not going to fit all the aspects.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna fit majority of the aspects, but then there's gonna be an issue that you have with yourself. Yeah, that's gonna be reflected back. So if you judge yourself emotionally, this person might be, you know, 50 or 60% of what you want, but the shadow issue or whatever you're working with within yourself that you're questioning, like, oh, should I be the full emotional person I am, or should I hold back? This person you attract, the first person you attract, is gonna test that. And when you finally,
how many times do you have to reject that before you get to the, like, right?
I think
until how many times do you have to say no before, like,
I think, like, until,
okay, I believe you now.
I think until you feel the full awareness.
Like, no, really, I like lock the key, like close the door, lock it, and like throw away the key, and like really, like, you know, you have to like really, really get off the fence, I guess.
Yeah, like I think you have to
really like be like, this is not acceptable. Like,
yeah, I think you have to take the leap. You know,
okay, so
like if your friend is having an issue where they are finding somebody who isn't fully available, mm-hmm. like, and maybe they're exactly the appearance they want, there might be sexual attraction.
They check all the like other boxes aside from, yes, like their,
but the like second whatever. But the second they show they're not available fully, your friend has to be like,
fuck
that. That's it. No. See you later. No. You do not fit.
I mean, I think that I understand that, but I, like I said, like how many times do you have to fucking, how many times?
I think until you like fully that? Commit, till you fully are aware of who you are and what you want.
Well, so what's wrong with me being like, okay, I'm a little bit chaotic or whatever. I'm a good person. I love really hard. I like fall in love with everyone. Like, what's wrong with me just being like, that's kind of who I am. Like, it's not a judgment. It's just like, this is kind of like how, this is how I could, like, this is how I think
it's like the issue, I think, is always like, you can say that to me, but I think there's like another layer of awareness where you have to like fully commit to that. Like, it's an energetic aspect.
Where, sure. Yeah. No, that's still getting works on for sure. Like, that's under construction. We know.
Yeah. So I think it's like, yeah, like, no, I
like there's yellow tape and shit.
And I think the universe knows that internal deep level where you have to be like, no.
I know. God damn it.
You know?
I feel like this about work too, like where it's like I feel like I keep looking for jobs and stuff, like, and all
that. I think deep down you don't want to do it. So why would they give you a job?
And of course they don't want to hire me. Of course they don't want to fucking even like respond.
Because you really don't want it.
I know. But then what do I want? I don't know.
That's up to you.
Like, I mean,
I think you want a job where you don't have to be committed to something.
I want a freelance, dude. Like, that's exactly what I want. Of course.
Yeah, but the problem is internally,
it's unreliable.
No. The problem is internally, you're hearing your mom's judgment. So there's a part of you that's saying, I do want this job. I really do this time. And you're like, you fill out the thing and you do your resume and all that stuff. But internally, you're dying and you don't want that job.
God, don't give me this.
But you're still like, there's an energetic aspect of you that's tied to your mom's programming and her pressure and like her judgment.
I literally had this conversation with my mom about her. Like, about, like,
yeah, but it's not job. About her, it's about,
no,
you.
No, but I'm just saying, like, I had this conversation with her about her job and how she, like, has been sort of like on the fence about like whether or not she should like look for something else, like go get, you know, she's been where she's been for a couple of decades, I guess, but like she's over it and it's like clearly not a, like, it's not aligning with her anymore. And I was like, you have been on the fence about this for years. Like, you need to, like, you have to make a decision. Like, the universe is not going to meet you anywhere. It's not going to give you any opportunities until you get off the fence. And she was like, something clicked for her, right? Like, it really clicked for her. And I'm just telling her this because this is, like, this type of shit I spout at people when they ask me stuff like that. You know, when they come to me with these kinds of dilemmas, it's like, it sounds like you've been hemming and hawing back and forth forever. You need to, like, pick a side. Like, choose a place. Like, do you really want this? No, you don't? Okay, you really need to stop perpetuating, like, the thing you don't want, right?
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so easy for me to say this to other people and for it to even like click for them when they're like ready to hear it. Right. But for me, it's like, I'm just so, I just can be very like slow and stubborn with stuff. I think like, I don't know. Like, I know this in my soul. Like, I know you're right. But I also feel like I still sit back and be like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. You know, like, I don't know what I did. I don't understand.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, sir.
But I feel like you do understand.
I do understand. I just like, why can't I just be like blissfully ignorant?
See that? Because it feels like the energy of what you just said. Like, you should just repeat what you just said.
I don't even know what I just said.
I don't know what you said, but it's the energy that I feel from it. It's like, I'm the victim.
Why can't I just be stupid?
Yeah, like,
why can't I just be ignorant and like blissfully ignorant? Yeah,
why?
I don't even feel that way, honestly, because I want to know everything. I want to know everything. Like, yeah. I'm so curious about, yeah, everything. And I think I get, yeah, I think the other thing is like, I'm not meant to just like do one thing and like be in one kind of like space forever. I think I'm a like very curious person and my interests are always shifting, and like if I were to like declare a like career, I would, that's the thing, I don't like to just like, oh, I don't like, maybe here's the thing, this is the thing, as much as I think I like want like even like a committed relationship or a like stable career or something, I don't want to commit. I'm like scared of doing that. I don't want to lock myself in because I know that's like, I know how fleeting, like I know I'm like gonna do things on a whim or whatever. Like I'm not gonna feel this way about whatever I'm doing forever. Like, does that make sense? Like, I'm really not a very like, I think I'm afraid of commitment, and I'm also just like, I don't want to be like locked down into something. So it's no wonder that like I get a lot of kind of non-committal like people and opportunities or whatever, like things that are kind of like wishy-washy. Because I'm wishy-washy, like I'm kind of like one day I'm in, one day I'm out, like I don't know.
Yeah.
How this is something I'm interested in about you. You like, how old were you when you got married?
I feel like I should know this.
Oh my god.
You've
been married like what, a decade?
Yeah, maybe 29.
Okay, so that's not super young.
Maybe 30.
Okay.
I don't know. 28,
maybe? I'm guessing, yeah, like something around there.
What year is it?
I don't, it's 2023. It's the end of 2023. What's your anniversary? Jesus Christ.
February 25th, 2012.
Okay.
How long have I been married?
So you've been married 11 years.
Yeah. It's going to be 12 years this February.
Okay.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So what was the question?
Or wait, 2012. No, wait, 2012. Oh, yes. Okay. You've been married 11 years. Oh. Wait, right? 20, 22, 24. It would be. Okay. Yes. That's right. Okay. I can't do math in my head. But no, I was just asking because, like, and then how old were you when you had a kid? Like, was that within, like, a year or
2015.
Two? Okay, so it was, like, a few years.
Yeah.
God.
We had 3 years of freedom.
You had 3 years of freedom, and then you were like, all right, we're going to have a kid now?
Yeah.
Shocking. Like, okay.
What?
I just don't understand. I just don't understand.
Like, yeah, but it goes back to what I talked about in the beginning is, like, our relationship is, like, all right, if I'm with somebody I love.
Such a big fucking commitment and choice.
Oh, it is. It totally
it is. Really is. And like, and you just were like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I want to do this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It just seemed like the next logical.
I always say, like, I will literally tell someone I just met that I want to marry them and, like, have their babies. But, like, I don't mean it.
Yeah, but like, why say that?
I mean, I don't, because I feel, like, I feel it in the moment. But, like, ultimately, like, I'm very glad that I didn't get married or have children yet. Like, I don't think I ever had, I don't think I was ever, like, with the right person to do that. Well, maybe once, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, but maybe there's something to that.
Maybe I'm not meant to or whatever. I don't know.
No. I mean, like, maybe there's something to the fact that you say you love somebody so quickly. Like, why do you think you do that?
Because I want them to love me.
Yeah, but that's not real.
I know.
But that's not honest.
It's just like...
Yeah, but, like, this is all
kind of true, though. It's kind of true because I think I do, like, if I get to know someone, like...
It's not true.
I kind of do love them, though.
Yeah, okay, but, like, all right, if you feel... If you are so emotional, right, do you, like, I feel... Do you feel the seriousness of what it would be like to have a child?
Oh, I definitely understand. That's why I'm, like, I am glad that I have not done that yet, you know?
But I'm saying, but then you're saying to these people that you really don't have a full awareness of yet that you love them or you want to have a child, but it's like...
Okay, that might have been, like, a bit hyperbolic of me to say, but yeah, essentially, like, I have those kinds of, like, I have that impulse, I think, for sure. Like, I have that impulse of being, like,
so why do you think is, though?
Like, let's get married. Like, I just want to feel like I think it's what I want. Like, somewhere deep down, like, that is what I want and kind of what I'm looking for. Like, but also I don't fully, like, trust myself to do any of those things. And I know that, like, like I said, I kind of avoid any kind of big commitment like that. Like, I couldn't even, like, declare a major in college until, like, I was forced to. Because I was, like, afraid to be, like, locked into something for the rest of my life. You know? And I still feel that way. Like, I'm still, like, kind of mad. Like, and I double majored. Like, I couldn't pick one. I did two. I double majored because I couldn't decide. And so I, like, went to school for longer and paid more money and took out
so
more.
So think about all these things. Yeah, but, like, think of, like, all these examples that you've given me today about, like.
I'm so sorry. This is, like, a really ruby fucking neuroses heavy podcast. Sorry
about that. I mean, yeah, but it's for anybody. We're breaking down, like. You've mentioned maybe, like, five things that, like, are kind of, like, deep patterns within
and
you.
And also, like, totally contradictory to each other. Like,
yeah, and then you don't understand. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but then you don't understand why you're not getting direction.
Like, that's what I mean. It's, like, it's like these different impulses that are totally, like, mutually exclusive and don't make sense together.
So then, you know, and it's, like, you're wondering why you're not, like, finding your direction because you're pulling in all different directions.
Okay, so how, like, am I supposed to pick one or how do
no, I think I
how
think
do I
like
all of the different directions all at
I think one? Honesty, like, having real honesty with yourself and others, like,
I'm literally saying this out loud on the internet, it's never gonna go away, so.
Yeah, but I think the honesty within yourself is the most important. You know, like,
yeah.
This is how I feel. this is okay to, and like it's honesty with acceptance. You know, like I feel this way. Like I feel like I want a job that kind of allows me to the freedom to kind of have this ebb and flow and change around and stuff like that. Like
I like
and that. I'm okay with that, you know.
Wear many different hats so that I'm not, I don't want to like do the same exact thing all the time. Like I want to be able to kind of have, yeah, like I like having kind of many different responsibilities. I like having ownership over the things that I do. Like as in like so, I don't have someone like, you know, telling me how to do my fucking job. I want to be able to like find the most efficient system to like do the thing I have to, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, if I can be real specific about like what I want in a job.
Yeah, but I don't think you have to. I think it's like, I think it's the honesty of like what you want. So like honesty is deep. Like being fully honest with like how you feel at all times is a,
yeah, okay, well, I would like a job where I just like have to send emails sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, I have to send some emails and occasionally I might have to like, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like if I'm being really honest, like I don't want a job.
Yeah. So then be honest with it. But you okay, still but, need like, a I form of income.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, but you don't want a job or you don't want that time or whatever. But then you're sending out resumes. So like it's contradictory.
Of course I have, because everybody has to fucking work.
Yeah, but a job doesn't mean income.
Yes, it does.
No, income could be something else that you're not, you know, you're not even.
Oh, yeah, like I just had passive income. If like, okay, well, I don't have that. Like nobody.
I mean,
in my family
yeah, but you could easily say, oh, this, you know, you commit to like having income without a job, and all this energy starts moving into the podcast, and you're selling.
I would really like that.
You're selling merch
I should
and t-shirts.
Subscribe to the fucking podcast. Okay, we should make merch.
You should That's make merch. You
I've
just do it.
About,
I don't want any money. You do it, and whatever you get, you get.
I've been thinking about ideas for this, and I've had like things like kind of come to me. I don't know.
But that's what I'm saying. You're contradict. Like, if you want income, and you just want to do what you want to do.
Okay, just speaking of the podcast, can I? I watched our podcast Spotify Wrapped. I yeah. watched it, and apparently we have like there's 12 people out in the world who we are their top fucking podcast. 12.
Really? Wow.
So two of them are probably you and me. There's so Colleen probably might be a third. Like there's I could probably name like four or maybe five, but there's like seven other people out there who like we're their top podcast, and I don't know who the fuck y'all are, but like, thank you.
Yeah,
and then
you're probably
then
awesome.
On top
people.
Of that, there's some other like I don't know, like 28 or 30-ish people where we're in their top five,
wow.
And then there's like 42 where we're in their like top 10.
Wow,
it's like
hey.
there's like 42 people out there who like listen to us on the regular, which I really appreciate, and that makes me want to keep going. And that it does. It's like we should make merch for those people. Like, you know, like
yeah.
those people should like represent us out in the world. I want to like I would like to have that kind of like community or whatever. Like,
yeah,
where like because like it's obvious like y'all are out there. Y'all listen to us on a regular basis. Like, I know how many people like listen to the pod like each episode, and it is usually around like somewhere between like 30 and 45 or something. It's not a ton of people. And like, obviously that's probably different depending on the episode, but there's like, yeah, there's like a good chunk of people who like listen to us regularly enough for us to be like in their top 10 podcasts. So that's really fucking cool. And I don't know. It does like that stuff gives me hope. Cause like, this is, I don't know. This is like the most fun thing that I get to do. Like as
yeah,
far
right.
as
so then
like
there
that,
it goes.
You know.
That's you're putting the higher energy into it, and then you know if you fully commit or take a leap, I mean, all it has to do is just start to grow. You know.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
So maybe we should end on that high note.
On that high note. Good. Yeah, thanks for listening, y'all. We notice and we appreciate you. And keep an eye out.
Check us out on social media. Like, subscribe, follow, do all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. Spotify, Instagram, Blue Collar Spiritualist, Spiritual Graffiti Pod, Ruby Marvel, you know, the usual.
Yeah, all the stuff. All right, we'll see you
later. Thank you for listening. Take care. Bye.